You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Possible alternatives to working income include the idea of a universal basic income that has gained traction in recent years. I spoke with Chief Economist at the New Zealand Initiative, Dr. Eric Crampton, about the possibility of introducing a universal basic income and its possible effects on the welfare system. I began by asking him to explain the concept of a universal basic income.
A universal basic income is almost explained by its title. It's universal, so it covers everyone. It's basic, so it's at a level of income that, well, isn't extravagant, but should be enough to cover the basics, and it's income. So it's a transfer payment from the government to each person in the country.
In your article, you describe the current welfare system as containing poverty traps. Could you explain this?
We have a pretty clean income tax system without very many exemptions and with only a few levels of tax rates. The problem that we've got is that we have a lot of income contingent benefits. Now, it's both a problem and a solution to a problem at the same time. It's a problem side. If you're earning certain levels of income, so if you're on, say, minimum wage work at maybe 20 hours a week, and you're on a lot of income-linked benefits, like working for families because you've got kids, or other benefits that get clawed back as your income increases, you don't get to keep very much of any extra dollars that you earn. So if you shift to going to 21 or 22 hours per week, you might only get to keep 10 or 15 cents on the dollar from every additional dollar that you earn. So we'd call that the effective marginal tax rate. The effective marginal tax rate combines the income tax that you pay with all of the clawbacks from any income-linked benefits that you're receiving to say how much of the next dollar that you earn gets clawed back or taken by the government. Now, we are always facing hard trade-offs with these kinds of things. The income-linked benefits are there for a reason. They try to target limited state aid to those who are in the very most need, and that requires then a lot of questions about your income, a lot of questions about your personal circumstances, and a lot of the kinds of things that people find really intrusive. So during all of the debates around Matiria Ture's benefits when she was younger, well, there was a lot of focus on the intrusiveness of the questions that she faced and how it's really not very nice that the government's going to be checking into whether you're living with a partner or not, whether your partner's supporting you, whether you're getting other support from family members. The whole reason for all of that, though, is to make sure that what money the government does give to people is targeted to those who are in the worst circumstances, so that a dollar is going, instead of to somebody that has some family support, to somebody that isn't able to rely on family in that way. A universal basic income does away with all of that. There aren't any intrusive questions, but the trade-off with it is that everybody pays a much higher tax rate in order to be able to afford to provide a basic income to everyone, and it can never be as generous as the benefits that are provided under targeted assistance to those who are in the most need, because otherwise the budget just immediately explodes. It's impossible to pay everybody in the country as much as is paid to some who are in really terrible circumstances. So if you've got lots of kids with disabilities and you're a single parent and you are yourself disabled, you're going to be getting a lot of assistance from the state as compared to somebody who is in less dire circumstances. You just can't afford to give that amount of assistance to everybody.
What do you see as the benefits of implementing a universal basic income?
Well, the benefit of a universal basic income is that you don't have to have these intrusive questions, so it's more respectful of individual privacy, and a basic liberalism where you shouldn't have to be justifying your circumstances to the state all the time. We also get the benefit of that for those people who are currently facing really high effective marginal tax rates, because these income-linked benefits all abate in that particular income range, so you're getting to keep very little of the next dollar spent. Well, those come down a lot because the universal basic income doesn't get clawed back in that same way. The downside is that to make sure that that can happen, everybody else's marginal tax rates go up, and then you've got the trade-off of whether it's better to have a relatively small number of people facing high effective marginal tax rates for some ranges of income, which can actually be hurdled if you flip from part-time work all the way over to full-time work in some cases, whether it's better to have that kind of a setup or to have one where everybody's paying much higher taxes which also will affect people's choices of how much to work and other decisions. So it's your choice of distortions, really. But the harsher trade-off is the one where you just can't afford to provide as much assistance under a UBI as you can with targeted aid. And then if you start layering targeted assistance on top of a UBI to try and provide that kind of assistance to those who are in the worst need, you wind up bringing back a lot of the problems that a UBI is meant to solve, because you're then having, again, high effective marginal tax rates for people who are on those additional income-linked benefits, and you're bringing back the intrusive questions to make sure that the aid is going to the people who most need it. So it brings back a lot of the problems that a UBI is trying to solve.
And so just continuing on with this sort of idea of a hybrid universal basic income with also a welfare system, how would this work? And if universal basic income were introduced, would it be more likely than not that this is how it would happen?
I see it being the only politically feasible way of it happening. If you tried to run a UBI that wouldn't blow out the budget, you would immediately have a lot of people in very sympathetic circumstances on the news saying, well, my income has just gone down by $10,000 a year or more, and here is my kid who's in particularly bad circumstances. Here's the harm that this program has done to me. You'd have, like, every night for a month Campbell Live specials, and very quickly you'd have a welfare system layered on top of a UBI. I just don't think that it's politically sustainable to have a UBI in the $10,000 to $12,000 a year range that has been kind of talked about, because a lot of people in very bad circumstances are getting more than that. But once you do that, you've kind of defeated the purpose of the UBI.
And obviously there's an election on at the moment, and there's been a bit of discussion around the UBI with the Opportunities Party sort of floating the idea, and Labour also floating it last year. Do you see any future government implementing the scheme, or do you think it's just too costly?
I don't see it on any short to medium term horizon. It's the kind of thing you can imagine possibly coming up if some scenarios for future tech development played out. So I don't believe these scenarios would happen, but here's the scenario that some people worry about. They think that rise of automation and artificial intelligence will mean that a lot more people are unemployed and that the returns to capital go up a lot compared to wages. In that kind of scenario, you could imagine taxes that are more focused on wealth rather than income, and using that to fund a basic income with massive changes in underlying labor markets and technology and how the economy works. I don't believe that's going to happen, because with every prior technological innovation we've had, people find other kinds of work and there's always more jobs to be done. So I don't think that'll play out. But if it did, that's the kind of scenario where I would see a UBI coming in.
Continuing with our work and income